Let's read together Exodus chapter 6. In this chapter, we have the Lord's reassurance given to Moses concerning the promised Exodus. Even though the conditions of slavery have worsened, and even though the people will not listen to Moses. Exodus chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land." And God spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name Lord I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord." So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel. But they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Go in, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the children of Israel go out of his land." And Moses spoke before the Lord, saying, "The children of Israel have not heeded me. How then shall Pharaoh heed me? For I am of uncircumcised lips." Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, and gave them a command for the children of Israel and for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And now for verse 14, down to the end of the chapter, we have the genealogy of Moses and Aaron. Let's read a few of these verses. Verse 20. Now Amram took for himself Jochebed, his father's sister, as wife, and she bore him Aaron and Moses, and the years of the life of Amram were 137. And then picking it up at verse 25. Eleazar, Aaron's son, took for himself one of the daughters of Putiel as wife, and she bore him Phinehas. These are the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites according to their families. These are the same Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, "Bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies." These are the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are the same Moses and Aaron. And it came to pass on the day the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "I am the Lord. Speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say to you." But Moses said before the Lord, "Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh heed me?" Let's begin our study of this chapter, Exodus chapter 6, with some background notes. The reason for this genealogy of Moses and Aaron at this point in the book of Exodus is to show the lineage of the two prominent leaders that God had chosen to represent his people before Pharaoh and the nation of Egypt. Moses and Aaron were in the line of Levi, Jacob's third son. Reuben and Simeon were Jacob's first two sons, and that's the reason they are mentioned briefly in verses 14 and 15. But then the text moves on to Levi, the third son, and the pedigree of Moses and Aaron. At the end of Exodus chapter 4, Moses and Aaron were encouraged because the people believed their message concerning the promises of God to deliver them. They not only believed, but they worshiped the Lord. Look back once again at Exodus chapter 4. And verse 31, the last verse of the chapter. So the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. Exodus 4:31. But then in chapter 5, we saw that after Moses' first encounter with Pharaoh, things got worse for the children of Israel. The workload and abuse of the Hebrew slaves increased. Now the children of Israel had to get their own straw for making bricks. And now the oppression and the abuse of the children of Israel by the Egyptians was greater. And now the response of the children of Israel is not a positive one of belief and worship, but the negative response of not listening to Moses. Look once again at verse 9 of chapter 6. So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, But they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. No wonder Moses is reluctant to return to Pharaoh a second time, demanding that the children of Israel be released. Verses 10 through 12 and verses 28 through 30. But in spite of Moses' reluctance and excuses, and in spite of the negative attitude of the children of Israel, we see in this chapter that God patiently and graciously deals with Moses and the children of Israel by reassuring them of his covenant relationship with them. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Exodus chapter 6. Doctrinal point number one, God revealed himself as Lord to his people in the Exodus. God revealed himself as Lord to his people in the Exodus. Verses 2 and 3 once again. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. God Almighty is El Shaddai in Hebrew, and it's the name of God by which he reveals himself as the strong and powerful God of his people, thus God Almighty. God revealed himself to the patriarchs by this name. I'm reading Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Genesis 17, verses 1 and 2. Now the last part of verse 3 of Exodus chapter 6 has led to some confusion on the part of a number of Christians. Verse 3 once again. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. What did God mean here when he said that he did not make himself known to the patriarchs by his name Lord or Yahweh or Jehovah as translated in the King James Version? There are a number of verses in Genesis where it is obvious that the patriarchs knew God by this name, Lord. In Genesis 13, verse 4, we read that at Bethel, Abraham called on the name of the Lord. In Genesis 26, verse 25, we read that Isaac built an altar at Beersheba and called on the name of the Lord. And in Jacob's blessing of Dan, in Genesis 48, verse 18, we read, For thy salvation I wait, O Lord. So what's the answer here anyway? It seems that God had already made himself known to the patriarchs as Lord or Yahweh or Jehovah before the time of Moses. And yet Exodus 6:3 says, I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name Lord I was not known to them. The answer here is that believers before the time of Moses knew of the name of the Lord, but had not experienced the full meaning of the name. The significance of the name Lord or Yahweh or Jehovah is that it's the name God used with his people as a personal, covenant-keeping God. Believers before Moses and the Exodus knew that Lord or Yahweh or Jehovah was one of God's names. But now in the Exodus of God's people from Egypt, they would come to know and experience that God is a personal God who keeps his covenants with his people. Illustration. You may have heard that I am known as Dr. Grace at Emmaus Bible College. In fact, you can see right now on the Bible I use in the classroom, my name is inscribed on the cover as Dr. Grace. So you know that is one of my names. But you don't know me as Dr. Grace as my former students do. For example, you have not experienced the grace of Dr. Grace when you passed a test that you could have failed if there weren't a few grace points thrown in. Now, do you see the illustration? The children of Israel were about to know the Lord as Lord in a new way, as the Lord proved his name to his people as a personal, covenant-keeping God. God revealed himself as Lord to his people in the Exodus. Doctrinal point number two, God revealed himself as Redeemer to his people in the Exodus. God revealed himself as Redeemer to his people in the Exodus. Verses 6 through 8, once again. Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. Did you notice the seven I wills in these verses? I will bring you out. I will rescue you. I will redeem you. I will take you as my people. I will be your God. I will bring you into the land, and I will give the land to you. What a great list of promises, all under the great theme of redemption. To redeem here means that God would buy back and free the children of Israel from their bondage and slavery in Egypt. There would be a cost, however. For each home, a spotless lamb had to be killed, and the blood applied to the door of the house in order to protect the firstborn from the judgment of death that would come under the last plague on Egypt. We read about this in Exodus chapter 12. What a wonderful picture we have here of our own redemption. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. The cost of our redemption was the death of Christ, the Lamb of God. I'm reading 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. All this is pictured in the redemption of Israel from their bondage in Egypt. God revealed himself as Redeemer to his people in the Exodus. What about practical application from Exodus chapter 6? Let's experience God's outstretched arm and uplifted hand. Let's experience God's outstretched arm and uplifted hand. Verse 6 once again. Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. God's outstretched arm here refers to his power and strength. And verse 8, and I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. The word for swore here is literally uplifted hand in Hebrew, because when you took an oath, you swore to it by lifting up your hand. When God lifts up his hand in solemn pledge, you can be sure he will make good on his promise. So the outstretched arm of God in verse 6 and the uplifted hand of God in verse 8 refer to his power for his people and his promises to his people. Let me ask you, have you come to know and experience God's outstretched arm and uplifted hand? You can as a believer. He is an all-powerful God who keeps his promises. If you bring your needs and cares to the Lord in prayer and look to your Heavenly Father in faith, he will show you his outstretched arm and uplifted hand. Let's experience God's outstretched arm and uplifted hand.